Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding. We also talk about the history of bodybuilding, and I'm your host, John Hansen. And on today's show, we are going to have part two of our interview with Barry DeMay that I did over the Olympia weekend out in Las Vegas. And it was a very good interview. I've been waiting to interview Barry for years. So we had such a long interview, we made it two parts. And today we're going to go into part two, where we specifically talk about the 1988 Mr. Olympia, which was Barry's peak condition. Actually, his nutrition plan company that he has is called DeMay 88, because it refers back to that condition that he made, or that he achieved, I should say, back in 1988, which he was experimenting with hitting that peak condition, and that was the one where he hit it really perfectly, and he was rewarded with that condition with a third place. And some people even thought he could have been second place to Lee Haney at that 1988 Mr. Olympia. So we're going to talk about that today with our interview, and we're also going to talk about Barry failed the 1990 drug test at the Olympia, and he also tore his pec in 1989. And then we're going to talk a little bit also about his years with the WBF. So we got a really good interview coming up with Barry DeMay in a minute. All right, before we get to that, I want to mention that we also are brought to you by our sponsor, who is Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. It's the brand I used to win the Natural Mystery Universe in 2012. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner, Vintage Burn, which is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, which is their two-stage pre-workout, or Vintage Brawn, which is the triple protein isolate powerhouse. It's packed with eggs, milk, and beef protein. Their products have no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Old School Labs is also the home of 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Banoot and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will get 12% off your order when you go to oldschoollabs.com. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, so what else is going on? I also have another good interview coming up with Tony Pearson. I got a chance to talk to Tony at the Mr. Olympia also. Lee Haney had his Legends booth, which was really cool, and they had a lot of the old-time bodybuilders stop over there, including Dorian Yates and Samir Banoot was there, and Mike Christian. Of course, Barry DeMay went over there. Tony Pearson, Troy Zuccolato stopped by. So it was really, really cool. That was the best part of the expo for me. So Tony just came out with a new book called Driven, and I just bought it on Amazon. So hopefully I'll get a chance to read through it real quick before I do my interview with him next week. And then hopefully we will have that interview next week up here at the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. So Tony, of course, had a great career, won the Mr. America in 1978, was kind of controversial. Then he went over to the NABBA Mr. Universe, and he won a couple of Mr. Universe titles over there. And then went back to the IFBB and did really, really well for many years. And he was a great poser, had a lot of success doing the mixed pairs posing. He had, I think, like three or four partners, and every time he had a new partner, he won. And that's when mixed pairs was really big back in the 80s. So hopefully we will have that interview with Tony Pearson up next week. So I started working out finally. This week was 6 weeks since I had my hernia surgery. So I went to the gym about a week ago on Monday and Tuesday. And as the doctor said, I just went really light, took it really easy. I actually just did all machines. I didn't even use any free weights. And just did really lightweight, high reps, like 15 reps, going real quick, like maybe a minute rest in between sets. And I was so sore, my plan was to do like a split workout where I did chest, back, shoulders, and calves on one day, and then come in the next day and do legs and arms on the next day. So I did that on Monday and Tuesday, and I was going to come back on Thursday and Friday, but I was so sore from even that little bit that I did, just because I haven't touched a weight in 6 weeks, that I wasn't even able to work out or do a second workout for those body parts. So it's going to take me a couple of weeks just to get back into it, but it feels great to get back and looking forward to getting in good shape again, lose some of this fat that I put on, and build some muscle again and some build my strength back up. So it'll take a few months, but I'm looking forward to it. It felt great to get back into the gym. I want to say happy birthday to Bill Grant, the amazing Bill Grant. Never ages. He turned 73 this week. And if you're friends with Bill on Facebook, he always posts pictures of him with his shirt off working out. This guy looks absolutely amazing. He's still got those great arms, those football size shaped biceps, and he's still got his abs. He's still lean. I mean, I'm 56, and I know how hard it is for me to get into shape. So I can imagine being 20 years older and being like Bill, but he is just in amazing shape. He really loves the sport of bodybuilding. So I wanted to wish my friend Bill Grant a happy birthday. We did get some emails. Actually, I didn't get any emails about the Barry DeMay podcast, but on YouTube, I got about 13 comments about the YouTube video. So if you want to check out the video, just go to my page on YouTube, which is under my name, John Hansen. And if you subscribe, you'll get all the new videos I put up. I've been putting up a lot of new videos lately. And with this Barry DeMay one, what I did was I added in all the contests that he did. So when we talk about the 83 universe, the 84 universe, and then all the Olympias from 85 to 87, I put all those clips in there. And I also did the same thing with the part two that's coming up with the 1988 Olympia. So that that video will probably be coming out this weekend as well, probably around the same time that this podcast hits. The video should also be on YouTube. So anyways, let me read some of these comments that I got. This one says, Barry DeMay, a Dutch legend, amazing physique back then and still. Tony Ruggiero says, the flexin' Dutchman knew how to hit some great classic poses and transitions. I'll never forget 88 Back to the Future routine. Classic. I love the old footage. Bradford McDermott said, great interview, John. Barry has an awesome classic physique. Cosmos247 said, great work, John. These long-depth podcasts are spectacular. Keep them coming, my man. Dave Cass said, another top-notch interview. John, in my opinion, is the best interviewer. Ron Harris giggles along and looks amazed by every comment. Dave Palumbo's are too short. I'd love to see you interview Bob Paris. He would be one interesting guy going by his book, Gorilla Suit. I'll never understand how some moron YouTuber could have more views than these amazing interviews. And then Benny Slillin said, it's weird that more people haven't found this channel. Fohat7 says, the best athletic mass. And Rizzo61 said, great. And we also got a couple more reviews on the Apple podcast for Bodybuilding Legends. This one was from Andreas from Chile. And he says, great show. It's fantastic. Great content and knowledge. Thanks, John. And B-Rock also gave us 5 stars. He said, compelling interviews from influential people in bodybuilding history. I've been training for years, and I fell in love with bodybuilding in the early 90s. Followed as much information as I could read on the subject, nutrition, training, philosophies. I competed a couple times, but I just love the sport. I found this podcast recently, and I was so psyched to hear the people I've watched and read about for years. John, you're doing an amazing job with this, and I'm listening to every episode. If you're interested in the amazing history of bodybuilding and hearing about it firsthand, this is absolutely worth a listen. All right. So thank you very much for those comments, guys. And if you have any comments about this episode of our Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we do part two with Barry DeMay, you can send those to me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. And like I said, I was also thinking about reading some more of those articles from my old magazine. So if you guys have any suggestions for that, please let me know, and I will take those into consideration. I also heard from our friend Mark Martinez. Mark, of course, we had on the show before, and he is working on a film about the golden age of bodybuilding, particularly in the California area in the late 70s. And he's interviewed a lot of great guys, including Franco. Rest in peace, Franco Colombo, who just recently passed away about a month ago. Mark was able to interview him last year before Franco died. So that's going to be a really, really great film and pretty important now that Franco has passed away. So anyways, Mark wrote to me and he said, John, this morning as I was walking my dogs, I re-listened to the Charles Gaines interview you did. It's my favorite interview. And when I interviewed, one of my favorite experiences. Such an intelligent and gracious man. Truly, without him, no Sports Illustrated article, no Pumping Iron book or film. Arnold would still be famous, but perhaps in a different way at a different level. Bodybuilding owes so much to Gaines and Butler. I absolutely agree with that, Mark. So we are looking forward to that film when he gets it done. Hopefully he'll get it done next year in 2020. I also had, maybe I got a line on a really good interview coming up, but I'm not going to say anything just in case it falls through. You know how that goes. I've said that before and that ends up never happening. But this is a guy that was suggested by a lot of you guys who listened to the show. And I would love to interview this guy also. He was a really, really big name. So I will keep you guys up to date on that, but hopefully it will come through. I was supposed to actually interview him this weekend, but I haven't heard from him. So I'll keep trying, and hopefully that'll come true. But hey, let's do a little contest here. I know some of you guys have bought my books. I've got the Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends book. I've got the MP6 workout, and I've got the new one that just came out last year, which was Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. Send me an email at naturalolympia.com, and if you can guess who this guy is that I'm talking to, I'll give you a hint. He competed in the 1980s. If you can guess who this mystery guest is that I'm trying to get on the show, the first one to get it right, you will get one of my books. And you can write down in the email which book you want, because I know some of you out there listening have bought some of the books. So if you want to participate in this little contest here, we're going to do a little contest on Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And you guys can guess who this guy is. I'm not going to give you any more hints than that. He's a really, really famous bodybuilder in the 1980s. And a lot of you have requested that I interview him. So first guy to get it right, like I said, will get a free book from me. So when you write to me at naturalolympia@gmail.com, give me your guess, give me which book you want, and also give me your mailing address, of course. All right. Before we get to part two of our interview with Barry DeMay, I also want to mention our other sponsor of the show, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number, which is 813-922-8939, or you can reach them at their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, flalternativemeds.com. They will work with anybody in the continental United States. You don't need to be from Tampa, Florida. And if you mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, they will give you a free consultation. They will also give you 20% off your order. All right, so here is our interview, part two of our interview with Barry DeMay, the Flying Dutchman himself. Here we go.
88, that was the year.
Okay, let's talk about 88.
But it starts in 87.
Okay.
It all started, I told Jim yesterday, first of all, I want to thank the whole NPC, you know, I thanked everybody yesterday because they really make me feel at home.
Yeah.
When I come and visit, you know, Jim, he always takes time for you. So, you know, in 87, Jim, he just told the truth.
You know,
Barry, you're not ready yet for this Olympia. And at that time, Jürgen, you know, he was always on my side as well. He's a personal trainer now, a really good personal trainer in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And we always wrote down everything. You know, what will I eat, what I drink, will I train, everything. So I was... And because of the improvements to the last Grand Prix, I was able to track it all down.
Okay.
So I knew exactly what I did and how I looked, and how I looked the last Grand Prix and why I made the improvement.
Okay.
So the blueprint for 88, the success formula, was made in 87 by making all those mistakes.
Right.
And I knew, you know, it's a cliche, and you know, you hear sometimes you need to do something wrong before you really know it.
Yeah.
But that happened to me
for
sure. And because I wrote down all my mistakes as well,
yeah,
I knew what to do.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So, let's talk about 88 because that was that's one of my favorite Mr. Olympias ever. You know, I think everybody was in great shape that year. They said like 87, everybody tried to be big. I think 88, it was almost the opposite. Everybody tried to come in really ripped.
Yeah.
And it was in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I saw pictures of you posing, I think it was at World's Gym outside. You looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
And in the hotel and stuff. So how many Did you go out there like a few weeks ahead of time to California?
3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
Wow, holy cow.
Yeah. My preparation started in February in 88.
Okay.
Because I knew I was going out 3 months before. And in 88, I did a whole tour of seminars and exhibitions in Germany.
Okay.
A period for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And in Germany, you know, Albert Busek always had like big shows and he had guest posers like from all over the world.
Yeah.
So there was, in that particular time, he invited me, but also Lila Brada.
Mm-hmm.
So we were guest posing.
Yeah.
And the guy was, this Alex Dillman that I was staying with in Germany, he said, well, he is better. And so he, in the beginning of the year, he already made me, you know, have a good reason to diet and be real strict.
Yeah.
And so I kind of prepare, you know, already for that to improve, you know, for the guest posings.
Right. Okay.
And I'm a strong believer that if your preparation starts like at 16 weeks out, then you better not be too fat.
Yeah.
Because, and therefore I call it like a preparation time for the prep.
Yeah.
And the better a condition is the day that you start your real prep, the easier it is. And another thing that I do differently than a lot of people is in 88, that's what I did for the first time because I was ready so long before, all the guys start training more and eat less.
Mm-hmm.
I do exactly the opposite. And you are able to do it if you're in shape. So instead of eating less, I needed to start eat more.
Okay.
You know, just to fill out and all that. And basically, if you're in shape and your body fat is real low, you don't have to do crazy things for your water because
right.
you won't retain water.
Right.
Because your skin is always thin.
Yeah.
In my entire life, I've never measured my body fat.
Yeah.
I will keep it neat in this interview. I always say, if the body fat is here, not like here.
Yeah.
I keep it neat because I always use different body parts.
Yeah.
But if it's not thin like this,
yeah.
then you're not ready.
Yeah.
So what's the point of
I remember reading you said that about the skin on your hand. I remember that.
Well, usually you know, among friends, I use another body part.
Yeah, right.
if it's not thick skin, then you're not ready.
It's got to be that thin.
Yeah, it's. But it's. I always make a joke out of it. But I'm making a statement there.
Yeah.
You know, if some people say like a week before, well, I still a little water. I don't even have to open my eyes. No,
yeah.
it's we call yeah. it butter. We call it, in Holland we have like a kind of butter that you make your meat with that gets real brown, and it's called chroma. You're going to be always, oh, no, it's just chroma.
So can you remember back then, like how many calories you were eating, Barry?
Yeah, exactly, because I wrote it all down.
Yeah.
I started out, my calories were 2,500 calories.
Okay.
And on the end, I was eating 3,700 calories.
Wow. As you got closer.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the photos that you're talking about on the World Gym deck,
yeah.
like 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
I probably could have been a little bit better because I lost some of that size.
That fullness, yeah.
But on the other hand, people are telling me you were so ripped, and that gave me the advantage. So, you know, and,
yeah.
and because of the bad quality of the videotape we had in those days, you're not really able to see it on video.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it was pretty thick skin.
Yeah. And what was your training like? How many days a week were you doing? Like three on, one off, or were you going 6 days a week?
At the time, I was doing 3 days on, 1 day off,
okay.
3 days on.
Yeah, I remember that was popular yeah. back then. Yeah. yeah.
One of the things that I could have done maybe even better in the end is training a little bit less than I did.
Okay.
Because on the end, you just have to recover.
Yeah.
Recover.
Right.
But I was training. I never really had a training partner in my whole life. I always trained alone. I always,
yeah.
always trained with music on.
Uh-huh.
Back in the days, maybe don't had the Sony Walkmans.
Yeah.
That, and Ghetto Blaster with a headset with, with like that.
Right.
But in 88, I trained with Renel Janvier, who was preparing for the USA.
Oh, yeah. The Shredding Boots. Yeah.
That guy, when we were finished, when we were finished legs, I was like, totally exhausted. He said, come, where are we going to? Then we go to 4th Street, we're going to run the stairs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was something else.
Wow. Yeah. What was a typical leg workout back then for you guys? Because you both had really good legs.
Yeah. My favorite leg exercise, and it's considered as a leg exercise, is still squats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the best leg exercise. I'm doing always squats because of the core, to keep it all strong. But my favorite combination of exercise for legs at the time was hack squats. And when I did my heavy sets, when I finished my heavy set, I made the superset with leg extension.
Okay.
And another thing what I did back in the days, I did my regular hack squat, just putting my feet like this.
Yeah.
And when I was getting heavier or lighter again, with shorter rest in between, I put my feet together and a little bit behind.
Mm.
It's something that I don't recommend to anybody because theoretically it's not really that good for your knees.
Yeah, it's tough on your knees, yeah.
But, it works on the sweep of the legs and the lower part of the legs.
Yeah. Were you a good squatter, naturally?
Yes, At the time in Holland, I trained like a whole crew of powerlifters.
Oh, really? Wow.
Actually, I got to know Ed Cohen because he was in Holland for a couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
I trained with that crew.
No kidding.
And did his seminars.
Yeah.
So I when I was doing legs, sometime I was training with that crew.
Oh, wow. For squat. What could you squat?
I have to go in kilogram.
Okay.
It's something remarkable I can say about that I used to squat. I was able to do squats with 270 kilogram.
Okay.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
For 6 rep easily. Now, if a powerlifter is able to do that, his one rep would be far over 300. But I used to train like a bodybuilder, so my one rep was not really far away from what I could do 6 times.
Yeah, wow.
So that's same with bent over rolling. I did it with like 200 kilograms.
Yeah. Wow, that's a quarter pounds. Yeah.
But I didn't do that correct.
Too much pulling. Yeah.
Well, if I see some of the professional nowadays training. Yeah. Then it was correct,
So did you, like in general, did you go heavy on stuff in order to build your body?
The key for muscle growth is intensity.
Okay.
The only thing you need to do every time you go in the gym is to give that muscle an impulse like, oh, wow, what's happening?
Yeah.
I need to be stronger next time.
Yeah.
So that only can happen if you shock it every time.
Yeah.
So I never had like a schedule that like in my head for I have to do this or I have to do that many sets, that many reps.
Yeah.
But I knew what kind of exercises I was going to do. As a matter of fact, the day before I visualized it as well. So, but the day of the workout, the moment I call it the working set, I had 2 to 3 sets that I call the working sets.
Okay.
All the sets before were just to enhance those 3 sets.
Right.
And the moment that I start doing the 2 or 3 working sets was the moment that I was completely warm, completely hyped up, and my strongest.
Right.
The moment I started the first working set, that was the moment I didn't count anymore. I was programmed to do it. And it's a funny thing. I believe in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, how to use your brains as well to stimulate. Uh-huh. And I remember that in my head there was no other option than just doing it.
Yeah.
I never failed a set because there was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
So Now, back to that first working set. Once that was done, I took a long rest period because I still had to do two more working sets.
Yeah.
So those are the sets called the working sets, but they were also the pre-exhausting sets for the sets afterwards, those three.
Okay.
So everything what I did before was long rest, low reps, long rest, low reps. And right after the three working sets were finished,
yeah,
I changed it right away completely in short rest, lightweight, and more repetition.
For every exercise?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I started supersetting.
Mm.
The supersetting by itself wouldn't work that good if it wasn't for the three working sets.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really approached the muscle. My muscles didn't have a chance to adapt because they were hit from every angle.
Mm.
And when I was done, then I start analyzing. So, okay, what did I do? Then I started, because I didn't do this before, because then you're preset to do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just going all the way, and it didn't matter if it was 6, 7, or 8 reps.
Yeah.
And if I could do 10, I would do 10.
Right. Mm. So for a leg workout, would you start with squats then and go heavy and then maybe do like extensions and hack squats, superset, like you said?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I...
So you wouldn't superset the squats with anything. It would just be the squats heavy and then you go to different exercises and superset. Okay.
With the squats, that was typical. I said the long rest and the low reps, but also the heavy weights.
Right.
You know, at two or three set.
Right.
And then maybe the last working set would be already on the hack squat.
Yeah.
And that will still would be with the long rest before, and mm-hmm. I'm making the reps. And after that, I just completely changed it in 1 second. So my muscles were not adapting to anything.
Right.
In doing high reps, low weight and short rest.
Yeah. Okay.
So every approach that you can imagine, it was in one training.
Yeah. Yeah. Combination of everything. Yeah. Heavy weight, low reps, and then higher reps with lighter weight. Yeah.
And then, supersets. Yeah. And there's another thing that's really crazy about it. I never really looked at the clock.
Mm.
And every time, now I'm finished, now I'm done, my energy level, my hormone, the how it works, everything, it's done.
Yeah.
It's always 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It's always 45 minutes.
Wow.
And, it's the hardest part. Always people are saying, well, how can you do it? You know, how can you go this far and be so strong? If you like it that much, if you go like meditate to go in those sets, it's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part was to stop, because at the high point that you think, well, you got all those endorphins, all those hormones in your body, you want to go more.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest mistake that people make. You have to stop.
Yeah.
You have to go in there, hit it, and stop.
Yeah.
Go out.
Yeah.
And if you feel, well, you know, I still could do something, don't do it. But use it the next time to do more in those working sets and those sets afterwards.
Right, right. Okay.
And if you got it all fine-tuned, then you know exactly, well, 45 minutes, it's done. And then always looked at the clock, 45 minutes.
Hmm. Wow. How did you split it up? Did you do, chest and arms or chest and back?
Almost similar to what I still do nowadays.
Okay.
What I do now is I train push and pull together.
Okay.
Now I train 5 times a day.
5 times a week.
that will be something. I still have the same approach.
Uh-huh.
Still exactly. I still have the same experience.
Uh-huh.
But because my body doesn't respond like that anymore and doesn't recover like that anymore, you have to adapt everything.
Yeah.
But to the ability, I'm still doing the same approach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, that's what I do. Sunday is rest day. Then I do a Monday. I do push the shoulders, tricep, chest.
Okay.
The next day, legs.
Okay.
Because even though I want to go 100% every workout, even though I trained real hard on Monday, legs is something I'm always to be able to do.
Yeah.
Then I take a day off. Then I have full day, back, biceps, traps.
Mm-hmm.
Then I do leg day, I call it 40%. It's like almost a rest day. I call it, I'm moving that day.
Okay.
And then I do the push again on Saturday. Mm. Sunday rest. And here comes the interesting part. Then you start, instead of push, you start pull on Monday.
Okay.
So on Monday it's always, because in the weekend I eat some more, so it always rotates.
Okay.
On Monday you got like a different body part.
So after the rest day you got a stronger day, but it's a different body part every week.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Okay, wow.
And then the nutrition is all, you know, it's made up. Everything is made up for recovery and strength.
Yeah.
So on Sunday I eat more calories. On Monday I have my workout. I use all the glycogen that I have.
Yeah.
After my workout I taper it down. And on again, for me at least, legs, I'm always able to do that. So I'm still lowering calories. On Wednesday already, it's my rest day. On Wednesday, on the rest day, I eat more.
Mm.
On Thursday, I can go all out again. On Friday, it's kind of a 40%, but I eat a little bit more again.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday, I can give it all out again. I call it a deep day as far as calories are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, the same ritual. This is like the principle.
Yeah. So you're still pretty serious about your training now, right, Barry? Even at 57.
Well, you know, the reason you go to the gym is still the same. You want to have results.
Right.
So why not do it the way it should?
Yeah.
Why make it yourself difficult if you know if you do it a little bit different, you feel better, you recover better, and you have better results.
Yeah.
Well, and besides all that, maybe I'm a crazy guy, but I for me it's easier to keep track of what I eat in my food application that is available in the dashboard that I'm using. I feel comfortable with it.
Yeah. I mean, some bodybuilders when they retire, like Dorian or even like Sean Ray, they either just don't train at all, or they just change their training, where they just, like Sean Ray says, he just goes in and works out, but he doesn't train. You know, he doesn't do it like he's.
Maybe it all comes down to the reason why you start training.
Yeah.
The reason I started training, you know, I wanted to go in the military because I thought that was the most extreme challenge there is, until I found out there's bodybuilding. You can even make it personalize it and go even beyond those borders.
Yeah.
It's something that I like.
Yeah.
And nowadays I have also pretty, well, sometimes boring days. I have a desk job as well. But that's my playtime.
Yeah.
So I just love doing it.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like a challenge. It's like an adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people in the gym, sometimes I drive back home, like, oh, what did that do? Because I always joke around. Right now, I must say this because it's really important for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm training in Fox Gym in Rotterdam. It's from Maarten and Sasha, and those are the owners. And it's 10 minutes drive from my house, and it's the gym that it's a hardcore gym, but everybody trains there the way they want, even people, the office people. You come in there, everybody trains really hard. And it's
wow.
Yeah, before I trained in gyms, I took the average of the age going down. So I took it down.
Yeah.
Now I come in, I'm not the old guy, and there are young people.
Right,
And the people there, the owners of Fox Gym, they are always working to, they have the heart for sport. They really do everything to improve the gym.
Yeah.
And, the reason I'm saying it, that's my hour of like, hey guys, I'm here. It's my playtime.
Yeah.
But really, you're asking me, you're still that strict. I don't have a complete answer on it because I'm surprised myself that I like it so much. That I still like it that much.
Yeah.
Every time, every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Well, I'm about your age too, and I look at it like I just want to keep looking good as we get older. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to get old. You know, I don't want to look old. You know, I want to see how good I can look as I get older.
Yeah, but there is a little difference there. For me, it never has been for the results first. I just like that crazy process.
Yeah.
I just like that gym hour.
Yeah.
You know, find those borders again.
Yeah.
On an adjusted level right now for my age, but
yeah,
I'm really strict, doing everything strict again for a year, and I'm surprised that everything still works the same.
Yeah, right. That's
why I'm so convinced that I can get anybody, not be Miss Olympia, but in her of his best shape.
Yeah, no matter where they're starting from. Yeah.
There's only one condition. Do what I tell you to do.
Yeah, okay.
I've do two good examples, Leroy Gilbert and Zach Ainsley, who got over a million followers right now.
Uh-huh.
I prepared them 2 years ago for a show, and they did exactly what I did. It was the first competition. I'll send you a picture of Leroy, like incredible.
Wow.
Leroy was a guy who like counting the rice, not weighing the rice, but counting the rice. So yeah, it's called discipline and difficult and hard if you don't like it. But if you like what you do, it's not difficult.
Right, exactly. Well, let's get back to your contest history. Let's go to 88. That was the big year. That was the probably the best year of your career. And we talked about you were out there for 3 months. So tell me about the day of the show. So they started. I love how they started that show with the weigh-in.
Yeah,
and all you guys wearing boxing robes,
yeah.
And it wasn't like a press conference, but it was just like the weigh-in, and you all had to take the clothes off. So, what was your feedback when you finally revealed and you were really, really shredded and weighed in that day?
Oh, I remember every second of that day because I'm my wife Maria, we're still together. We have a daughter of 25, but she was with me at the time, so uh-huh. she actually has been with me since I won the World Games, so the
oh,
two
really?
Months before that.
Wow.
So, and you know, we always have a plan. You know, I always start with what you want to do. This is my goal. Make a plan, and every step you approach if it's the goal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did in 88.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be done, and it started in the beginning of 88. And I remember exactly. We were talking about peaking, you know, to your like 100% condition.
Right.
It was 6 o'clock in the morning. It was black and like still dark, or was just getting light outside. And I pulled open the curtains, and I said, "Mar, is Mar? She was still sleeping. What? We did it. Look, we did it." And from that moment on, you know, it didn't matter what happened.
Yeah.
That's I liked the process, and I did what I wanted, and the rest is fun.
Wow, yeah. So tell me about that day then. You know, they go to the pre-judging.
Yeah.
And,
I speak a lot. But, we had the pre-judging of the weigh-in for the first time. It was the only year that they have it.
Was the weigh-in the day before?
The day before.
Okay, yeah.
So... yeah, that was amazing. You know, that's when people had a preview already from how the guys looked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, were you surprised that some of the guys weighed as light as they did? Because I remember that was the big thing that year. Everybody, like Mike Quinn, only weighed 204, and Richie only weighed 208. You know, these were guys that were bigger before, but everybody came in really good shape for that show.
Yeah, they probably were all the lightest weight ever, but
yeah.
They were all in shape.
All in shape. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean. Weight doesn't say anything. It's
no.
It's the proportions and
yeah.
I wasn't really surprised because as tall as I am, I wasn't that. I was 232 or something.
Uh huh.
So I wasn't that heavy myself.
Right. So the prejudging then they call you Haney and Rich Gasparri for the first call out.
Yeah.
So that would be validation, right? That you finally did it. You reached your peak after.
Well,
it's like your fourth Olympia, right? Your third or fourth Olympia.
A little history about the Olympia. Until that day, the first call out always was the top three.
Right.
So you know what happened. You know
yeah.
what went through
what's
my
thinking?
Head.
Yeah.
But still, I was not really, you know, dealing with that. I was just focused on the moment,
right.
You know, what I have to do and show what I had. And
right.
But on stage itself, I never felt my body like that. Like I could like flex and everything, every muscle separately. And I know the first step that I did on stage, I felt like every muscle in my leg. I felt
wow.
I did it.
Yeah, you really were in peak condition. Yeah. And then you get to the night show and you did that great routine where you used YouTube song.
Yeah.
And then the crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, like you said it before, it's a subjective sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been happy that day with fourth place.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, Lila Brown, I mean, is it?
Yeah.
So the happiest moment of that day was when they announced Lila Brada,
yeah.
My good friend, Lee, you know, you're a good friend
right.
of me, but when they announced me, when they announced him as fourth.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I remember watching the video when they announced him fourth, I could see the smile on
like,
your face.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right. No, it was like heaven.
Right.
The funny story is, like, I never did guest posings anymore until, like, 5 weeks, 6 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, I did, like, 3 weeks out, I did a guest posing in the neighborhood, in the area where Lee was living.
Okay.
So a lot of friends were just coming to watch me.
Yeah.
And I used it as a tryout because, you know, I kind of, missed my peak the year before.
Yeah.
And I still had to do it the right way. My body fat was low, so I did everything what I had in mind to do at the competition day. So the result was that I was like in the best shape ever for a guest pose.
Yeah, right.
And like friends of Lee, they would come up, they were like, oh, you are ripped.
Yeah.
That was my best guest posing ever.
Yeah. When you were out there, were you, did you rent a house or did you stay? I know they had the Marina Pacific Hotel, right?
Yeah.
That's where a lot of guys
Joe Bucci was.
Yeah, Joe Bucci, yeah.
That's
connected. Like a block away from Gold's or something.
Yeah, that's we stayed there.
Yeah.
We had
because you had your own kitchen and everything, right?
Exactly.
Like an apartment, yeah.
Yeah, we had there 3 months, and that was a really good deal for us.
Wow,
if you look
awesome.
At the rates now, the hotel.
Yeah,
rent.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's we stayed there. And, you know, again, it's something that I think about. Like people were saying, "Oh, it's so difficult to dive in." I never thought anything was difficult. I was doing what I love doing.
Yeah.
I was living in America preparing for the Mr. Olympia.
Right.
How can that be
right.
hard or difficult?
Right, right.
Hungry is just as an emotion, you know? It's,
yeah.
It means you're burning fat.
Right, right. And how was the gym at that time? Because I think everybody's out there, right? Wasn't everybody out there that summer training?
Yeah, even Lee came, Lee Haney came.
Oh, really?
Like a couple, not like a week early, and
yeah.
Rich was there. But there's, of course, there's a story to that as well.
Yeah.
For every bodybuilder in the business industry at that time, I knew them very well. You know, you get to know people very well during competition.
Right.
So what I always say about Lee, the puppy, the you know, he inspired me the most.
Lee LeBron?
Rich.
Rich,
I have to say Rich. As far as training.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking about, it's not hard, it's not difficult. But if he goes in the gym, he's like a machine.
Yeah.
So I remember one day, and it's not just the way that he executed his training or the way he trained, but what he was expressing. He was not aggressive, I want to train. But he was so energetic to do his training, and he was so energetic to show his abs to me. So one day I was finished with my second workout. Second workout was just abs and not even cardio. I didn't do really cardio and calves. So I was done. I finished all my, I burned all my calories for the day.
Yeah.
And Ritz came in. I just had to do it again. And we were showing abs to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ritz really inspired me a lot to train hard. The day of the competition, I have like for everything, I find my own manual to deal with mentally. So when we were start pumping up, I wanted to be myself.
Yeah.
So we had like on the building where we were for the backstage, everybody, there was like film crew everywhere were people. So I saw stairs. I went downstairs and tried to look for a room.
Yeah.
Well, guess who was there pumping up?
Rich.
Rich. So we were like both. And, well, man, I'm in shape. I'm in shape. Yeah, me too, man. But you know how Rich is.
Yeah.
This is how we were oiling each other. And,
right, right.
Yes. Yeah, that was
great days, huh? Yeah.
Amazing time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really still enthusiastic about all stories.
Well, it's funny, you know, because when you compete in all these shows, and it might be 30 years later, you remember every detail of that, you know, when those certain days, those certain contests.
I'm surprised about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised because it just means, or it just shows what it meant to me.
Yeah,
what an important part of life.
Right.
You know, I have a different side as well. You know, I meditate every day. You know, I put life in perspective, and I can look at this bodybuilding world like a ping pong ball and take distance. So, for that reason, I know it's a crazy sport, and I'm able to watch it like that.
Yeah.
But therefore, I also realize that people are not into these sports. They must think that we are nuts.
Yeah.
but you know, if people are not into the sport, they don't realize what it means, this lifestyle and results and showing your oiled up biceps for an audience.
Right, right. Well, it's more than that, though. It's all the dedication and all the work towards it. And then, you know, I've done interviews with guys who competed in the 70s, and they can't even remember how they placed. And then we start talking about it, and all of a sudden, it's like the light bulb comes on. Then they know every detail of what happened that day, and it's just amazing how much it meant to them, you know. And I think we're all similar in that way, you know.
Yeah, besides what you know, the details, those are just the words that come out.
Yeah.
But you really
feel the emotions. Yeah. Yeah.
This is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you think that was probably the best, huh?
But at the same time, it's important because if you're not able to step away from it, you keep living in that world.
Keep living in that past.
And for me, that's not, you know, I can realize how enthusiastic I am about it, to speak about it. I also realize, well, that's a part of my life.
Yeah.
And now it's a part of my business. And why I choose to do this kind of business? Because one simple reason, not because I feel like a superhero, because I like it.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Yeah, yeah. But it does mean a lot in your life. I mean, in perspective.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because in life, you know, if I look at it or from a distance, well, I can't live my life looking at the world on a distance like that. I have to live a life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to choose a stage to live your life.
Yeah.
Now, this is the stage that I really like.
Yeah. But don't you think, Barry, too, it teaches us a lot about, like, what we could apply to other things in life, other areas in life, because we went through that, you know, that discipline and that hard work and that challenge, and you met it, you know, and you did it. Yeah.
I'm convinced about that.
Yeah.
Because it taught us how to plan, how to deal, how to, and that formula, you can adapt it to anything.
Yeah. I think Arnold's proven that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but then on the other hand, it doesn't even have to show always in success in a material way.
Yeah.
For example, I train in a gym now, and there's a girl who's doing the first competition.
Mm-hmm.
And she overcame two times cancer.
Mm.
And now she had this first competition. This girl inspires me as much as somebody, or maybe even more, who wins Olympia.
Yeah.
So everybody has his own story in that gym.
Yeah.
So, and everybody, to me, everybody is his own hero.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes you think if you would have pursued a life, like if you would have been in the military or an accountant and just would have lived an average life.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have done it. No.
You wouldn't have these memories to draw on that, you know, where you had this challenge and you were one of the best in the world and, you know, and you reached that pinnacle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for that reason, you experienced that as well yesterday. That for that reason, it's such a camaraderie, you know, the friendship and bond.
Right.
And we see each other.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. So then after 88, the bad part then was 89, right? Because then you had your chest injury.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a chapter. In 88, in 87, I knew the formula. In in 88, yeah. I proved the formula.
Yeah.
But then I wanted to improve the formula by looking at the pictures that you just talked about.
Yeah.
Like getting a bigger version with that kind of condition.
Yeah.
But, you know, being that enthusiastic can be also, you know, your downfall.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about resting. I wanted to because people
right
said,
back on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I want, you know, why should I like it so much? I came back home. I wanted to do my preparation. And after the Olympia, I didn't really rest. I went to China for Ben Weider tour in China.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And that was really tiring, but it was all fun. But I was still like in the whole dream.
Yeah.
I became sick after that because just, you know, my body, you know, you're
broke down.
Yeah, like a cold, you know, something.
Yeah.
But it was a sign that, hey, take a step back.
Right.
When January 1st started right away,
mm.
and everything that I had, my plan, the roadmap that I had in 87 was improved what I had on the table. With the plan of 88.
Yeah.
That was going to be the plan for 89 with some improvements again.
Right.
Well, so in January the 1st in 89, I started. And man, that plan worked. I started to improve. Everything right away, you know, I didn't really was fat. I didn't became really fat. So I was improving.
Right.
But I was improving too fast.
Mm.
And because of the rest that they didn't take, you know, I had in February, it's something, of course, I remember really well. I had my back there.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment, I can go back to the first time that I walked into a gym, looking at the posters of Arnold and looking at Frank Zane. And I knew the perfect image from how a body should look like.
Yeah.
And then I had like a terrible image about the sport, what could happen as well.
Mm.
There was Johnny Fuller at my first Olympia. He didn't have the most pleasing physique
right.
to start with.
Yeah.
He was good built, but he had a terrible pec tear.
Right.
And that was like a nightmare.
Mm.
If something like that like would happen to me. Well, and it happened in 89.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah.
Was it bench pressing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually what happens, right, with bench press.
Of course, afterwards. Yeah, you tell yourself, well, no. Maybe at first you tell yourself, well, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't
yeah.
have done that.
Yeah.
But because of the mentality, what I explained, you know, how I go into a training to reach that intensity, because of that mentality, I was where I was at.
Yeah.
So that was a risk that was involved.
Yeah.
But again, I'm telling people, stay away from bench press. Don't
oh,
go
yeah.
heavy, particularly if you're low body fat.
Yeah. Right. So back in 89, I mean, how was the, did you get it repaired? How was the surgery?
I had surgery right away.
Yeah, it's like a bicep, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, still, it was not completely torn from the bone. So from between the tendon and the muscle and the tendon.
Okay.
So it's repaired. It's repaired okay.
Yeah.
But to me, I realized in 88, hey, I've got a chance to win the Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
And I had that perfect image in my head.
Yeah.
And that perfect image was gone.
Yeah.
Because and from that moment on, I had to show the world still. I placed third. I couldn't really show the world that I didn't believe in it anymore. Because, you know, people were expecting, oh, no, I will come back and 89, I won't compete, in 1990, come stronger.
Right.
But I knew with the most muscular, you will see it. And it was not, you know, I never would have won the Olympia because of size or just one factor, symmetry or striation, whatever. It was my complete package.
Yeah.
It's the same as Chris, you know, who won the Classic Physique yesterday.
Yeah.
If he had a pec tear and he had a little, If it would have been noticeable, it wouldn't have won.
Right.
So and that was the case with me. So
surprising you mentioned it. His physique kind of reminds me of yours. You guys,
yeah,
so
a lot
tall,
of people, yeah,
yeah
people,
good
yeah,
legs, yeah.
Yeah, people are saying that. So
yes, he's very symmetrical.
Yeah,
too. Yeah,
super nice guy. Well, I'm not saying that I'm a super nice guy, but
right. So then that year you just sat out that you didn't compete in 89.
I went to Rimini and
Sean Ray were hanging around, right?
Sure, Sean Ray was hanging around and he was suspended.
Yeah.
And the day of the competition was his birthday.
Yeah.
And Sean and me will never forget his birthday. And we always start laughing when we see each other still.
Yeah.
Because we just both start drinking. And we were both get drunk.
That's how he told me. So yeah. You guys were hammered watching the show. Yeah.
It's, it's a funny story afterward. But now that I've talked so much what the sport meant to me, and you know what it must have felt like at the time.
Yeah.
My dream was just gone.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in it anymore. So that's...
that'd be hard.
Yeah, that was... So the game plan was kind of changed. I thought if I come in bigger, you will notice it. If I don't come super dry.
Yeah.
But that was not my I needed to be ripped.
Yeah, and everything.
That was not my look.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's that was a difficult time, and I knew, but I couldn't show the world.
Yeah.
Because I really made sure, of course, I'll be back and I'll come stronger and better. I knew that was not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then the WBF came around, and I felt so. I started to tell myself, you see, I'm not done. This is another another reason I can be bigger here, and so.
Yeah.
And I can be bigger in this federation and still be successful.
Yeah.
But the dream of the guy, the young guy that started that first day in the gym, that was gone.
Yeah.
And that was the inspiration to train it hard and to pursue the dream and all that. That was gone.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was looking back at it was like just a fake protection. Projection of what people wanted to see, and I was not lying to the people. I was more lying to myself,
right?
Because I afterwards I realized a couple of years later, I realized myself. That's what sink when it sunk in. I never believed in it anymore.
Mm. Do you think it was gone because the Pectera just ruined the whole image of what you had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, if Chris would have had like a Pectera yesterday, he won. People, I hear people say, well, he should have been second. Well, the reason that he won was his overall package. If he had a Pectera, he never would have won.
Would have ruined the package.
Yeah. Well, that's what exactly happened to me.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So tell me about that WBF when that came along, because that came along in after 1990, right? Did you do the 90 Olympia when it was drug tested?
Yes. I was suspended.
Yeah. one of the many, huh? Because there were a lot of people.
But not that many. I'd be really honest about all those things. You know, even if people ask me about steroids, why should I lie about it?
Right.
If the governor of California tells that he used steroids,
right.
why should I lie about it?
Right.
So maybe I was like the cleanest guy in the crowd over there.
Yeah.
Because I really stopped with everything.
Yeah.
But that year they had a new test. They could like find stanozolol.
Oh yeah.
Trace back.
Winstrol. Yeah.
Trace back to 18 months or 20 months.
Right.
It's just, that's why Ben Johnson was called at the Olympics
that
year.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's I was in good condition considering I wasn't using anything, just those traces from 18 months before.
Wow, yeah.
But still, afterwards, and there are a few things that happened later that I also look at it like this, I think it was a blessing.
Yeah.
I made some pictures with Lee Haney the next day, and I looked pretty good. But I think, because I was really ripped, but I was also smaller, because I was...
Yeah.
I think... it would have ruined my image because of the fact here. And you were around smaller. Afterwards, I'm glad that 88 was just the prime thing.
Yeah.
Everything. And that's the whole reason I call my online coaching program the May 88.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
It just symbolizes the whole thing where I was, what bodybuilding meant and means to me.
Right. So what was the pitch when Vince McMahon came back to you for the WBF?
But the reason why he came was...
what did they try to sell you on? That this was going to be a whole new organization and they were going to...
Yeah, they were going to make us stars. If Jim Mayen could make wrestling into something that he did,
yeah,
he could do the same thing with bodybuilding.
Right.
To me, it was an escape. So I can do that, you know. Because of the thing that I didn't believe in me. So they were going to make us famous and have dolls and all those kind of things. But the first year was it was a good show in a way, the way he wanted.
Right.
But it didn't come close with the Olympia idea that I had in mind.
Yeah.
I was just playing character and pretending, oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Years later, that was not me.
Yeah.
That was not why I wanted to be a world champion bodybuilder.
Right, right.
It was for other reasons.
Right, right. So it only lasted 2 years then, right?
Yeah.
And then you went back to the IFBB for a little bit after that?
Yeah. And there's the thing about Joe Weider, because, you know, nobody was supposed to be come back in the IFBB.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was the first guy who was officially suspended from the IFBB. But I was also the first guy who took back. The reason they suspended me, because I was the only guy, maybe the first and the only guy, who wrote a letter to Joe and Ben explaining why I did it.
Okay.
So officially they had to do that. That's logical.
Yeah.
And I felt that I needed to explain it. When the whole thing was, you know, behind Joe, I was the first one. He offered me a contract right away. And I said, the relationship I had with Joe Weider was like, you know, you didn't have to say much, you know, you didn't about the relationship itself. And
right.
I said, Joe, why were you giving me the contract back? You know, I'm not one of the guys who went. The only thing he ever said, if a lost son comes back to his father, he welcomes him with open arms.
Wow.
That's the only thing he ever said.
Wow, that's great.
Well, he said it in a way we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, it just shows how I feel about Joe and the kind of relationship we have.
Yeah, yeah. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something. I mean, he had a heart for sport. He brought the sport. You know, he made it something. You know, with the Olympia, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hear these different stories about him. Some people say he was a ruthless businessman, but I never got to meet him. But I always thought that this guy really loves the sport. That you could tell he loves the sport. You know, you could just tell how much passion he put into his magazine. You know,
anything that is successful, not just business, anything is successful. There are always people say things like that.
Yeah.
But the people who are saying things like that, they're not saying, that doesn't mean anything about the thing that's successful.
Right.
It's saying something about those people.
Right.
Because they don't know where they're talking about. Do they know Joe Weider?
Right.
They don't know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know you. So that's those things. That's even worse today on social media. I can't be bothered by that.
Yeah.
That's, to me, it's a joke because those people don't know where they're talking about.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So looking back on your whole career, then Barry, it seemed like some of the highlights were, of course, '88, the Olympia '88, and then the World Games in '85, and then that other show that you did, the European Championships that you won.
Yeah.
That might be a highlight.
Yeah.
As well as the very first one you did, where you weren't even expecting to go in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the first and the Olympia, that was the highlight.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the what I always say, the thing that I liked most of the sport, till so far we talked about training, the lifestyle, and how you feel physically.
Yeah.
But it gave me the opportunity to really meet people all over the world, to make friends all over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's like, like I said it before, it's just the states where my life is happening on. It could be anything else, but it's the states that I like.
Yeah.
But you still have to make it, you know, your own personality. You have to make, you have to make something out of it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm blessed with everything that I experienced. I never thought that I would do something like what I'm doing right now again. Mm-hmm. But that's because I didn't know was the internet back
in the days. Right.
So now that I see those results and I make my my program into a method, and people are asking me every day, I realize I'm having the same fun and I get the same joy of it like I had when I trained myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got to be fun, too, coming to Vegas, to the Olympia, yeah. Going to the Arnold, yeah. and seeing all the people again, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty busy at the moment, and at first I didn't want to go. Just last week I thought, my wife actually said, Barry, go.
Yeah. But it's got to be great also being recognized and being remembered, right, by all the fans that saw you compete.
The mind might sound crazy to you, because I still, after all those years, find that something... Still, I find can't really comprehend that, you know, because then I go back to that little wall, what it actually is, and think, gee, more over 30 years ago, I was like, well, that's some baby oil on my, and I was like, why are people?
Yeah, it made such an impression, yeah.
But, you know, that's after, you know, behind the baby oil, behind the muscles, mm-hmm. you know, there are people.
Yeah.
We got the puppy.
Yeah.
We got Lehaney, the mentor.
Yeah.
We got, you know, we got like all those characters that became friends and all did it for the same reason.
Right. Do you think that era that you competed in the 80s was one of the best in bodybuilding? Well, yeah, you look then, back the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and then, you know, the more modern times.
You said before it's subjective, so you first have to ask me, what do you think this bodybuilding is about? Mm-hmm. So, and why is that era for you the best?
Yeah.
To me, bodybuilding is about the best built body, and it has to do about a lot of a couple of criteria. About you need to be athletic, meaning small waist, wide shoulder structure, muscle mass in a way that is balanced in proportions. Symmetry, not just like lines from one body part, but like even the flow from the calf to the leg to the obliques to the lats, all those lines.
Right.
And then condition. So if you look at all those things, and if you ask me, you know, how a bodybuilder should look like, you still draw something like Sean Ray. Sean Ray, he's a good, perfect bodybuilder. I always take example. Frank Shane.
Yeah.
So those are the lines, you know, and the same is for Arnold. If you want to draw a cartoon and superhero, that's the lines that you're drawing. Even Kai Greene, you will something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you look at that, and it's not just condition, and it's not just the line with the whole package.
Yeah, everything.
Yes, then I believe the 80s and in particular the 1988 Mr. Olympia, because there were about 25 competitors, and they were all in great shape.
Yeah.
And you can't say that about last night.
No. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you look at the 70s when Arnold was around, of course you had Arnold, but the bodies weren't quite as developed as the 80s, you know, but then when you get to the 80s, the guys still looked like real guys, real human beings, you know what I mean? And then I think when the chemicals started getting more advanced in the 90s and beyond, they started looking so blown up. But I think the 80s, you could more relate to them. The physiques were advanced, and the posing was great.
Yeah.
You know, I think you guys I showed that. Remember a friend of mine, he was looking at the 88 Olympia, and he's like, God, these guys look like superheroes back then, you know? that's sort of what you want to be like when you want to get into bodybuilding, you know?
But still, I have to say about that like people are so used to those monstrous size of nowadays that they ask me, you guys must have been all natural, right? They think that is like, that was normal.
All
right, thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. That interview cut out a little short there at the end. I think my cell phone died when we were talking to Barry, but that was the end of the interview anyway, so you didn't miss much. So thank you again to Florida Alternative Medicine and Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Hopefully we will be back next week with an interview with Tony Pearson, 1978 Mr. America. So So that is it for this week. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.